chapter 16. You thought I was going to do something different, didn't you? I told you I was going to go to Proverbs 16. Personally, I want to say thank you again for the opportunity to be here and be able to share with you the exciting things of the Word and the exciting things of camp. Secondly, I want to welcome and thank, or at least say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the room. And then also happy Mother's Day, because without the mothers, you couldn't have the fathers. Without the fathers, you couldn't have the mothers either. So, but happy Father's Day. I did greet my father this morning. Unlike most of us today, we start texting and we say happy Father's Day. I did get a text from my daughter who said happy Father's Day. But I called my father. My mother is, I know you took prayer requests, but you could pray for my mother. She's 82. She's in the hospital, been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks. She's had some kind of blockage in her lower intestine, which was cleared out, but then it's got infected. And it's now got some kind of biological disease that, I don't know, they had Centers for Disease Control in there the other day, and she threw them out. So, pray for my mom, because it also takes a toll on my dad. He's 82, and he's been a caregiver for her for the last 9 years. So pray for him. And he's actually in good shape. he's wearing it. So he's going to a meeting this morning. So happy Father's Day to you all. I'd like all of the kids that have been to camp, Iroquoita, kids, children, to stand up. Stand up. Just stand up. These are my friends. These are my buds. Okay? Jonathan, we got. Okay? We got the Rodriguez's. We got the LaBeouf's. We got, we've got one Riscala in there. Okay? And so we want to thank you guys. Just wanted you all to see, because these kids you could be praying for. Be praying for. Okay? Now, I said earlier. Okay, thanks, guys. All right? I said earlier that, I have to figure out, I want to give away a free week of camp, at least one. And I want, any child that's 8 years old to, say, 17, high school, that has never been to camp? Is there anyone in the room? You've never been to camp. Okay. Right. Yeah, you don't have to be present to win, okay? All right. So we have Rebecca and Phil Todd. I got that one right. Phil, where's Phil Lester? He left already? He missed? All right. I did want to talk to Phil, too. But anyway, so we've got the Todds. And what is your name again?
David.
Nathan, right. Nathan. Okay. So that's all we have is two? Have never been to camp.
Oh, Chris. Sue.
Sue. Sue said she's working. She can't go. Unfortunately, she can't go. All right. So I already covered that with Sue last week. All right. So I have two. That's it? Well, I have to ask the question. I'll put you on the spot. Are you interested, Nathan, in going to Camp Iroquoita soccer game?
Possibly. That's a yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that answer. But now, Rebecca, I'm going to have to ask you for your son, on behalf of your son. Oh, yeah. Okay? Okay. Okay. All right, there he is. Okay?
He
needs himself. Would you... What is your son? What's your son's name?
Philip.
Oh, good enough, right? Philip, would you be interested in going to camp if you had the opportunity? Really? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If you two want to go to camp... I'll figure. Do we have another brochure? You guys are covered to go to camp. Okay? How's that? All right? You're excited now, right? Now you got to find the ride. You got to find the ride. Well, we're great. You guys, well, that gets you back up into Pennsylvania a little bit. All right? Okay? All right. We'll see you guys after the meeting, okay? Now, I had actually... My plan was to go to about 1 o'clock, but I thought you all might be leaving by then. So, Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is written by Solomon. And then, you know, in some of the other cases, that there's purported that there's other chapters that are written by some others. But Solomon, the book of Solomon deals with the subject of wisdom. And applying wisdom to our life. understanding, wisdom and knowledge. That's what the book of Proverbs. The first meeting, I asked the question, I said, what is that related verse? And no one remembered, and I knew that. Not that you wouldn't remember, but I had written it down because that's why I remembered. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. But if I said to you, well, let me backtrack a little bit. If you recall, maybe you do, maybe you don't, the first time I shared with you all, we covered the entire book of Zechariah in one meeting. Okay? Some of you remember, some of you said, I wish you didn't do that. And then last year when we were here, we covered the book of Hebrews. And it was Christ is better. You remember that. Maybe you don't. I don't remember last week. But this week, I want to cover not the entire book of Proverbs. We're only going to go one chapter. And there's 33 verses in one chapter. However, leading up to that, Proverbs is a great book. And there's a lot of things that are in there. Tell me, I would like for you, maybe, just, you know, tell me which some of the your favorite verses in the book of Proverbs. Yes?
There are things that seem wise unto a man, but there's things that lead to death. I don't know which one it is. Don't ask you
the verse, huh? The chapter. Okay? Okay.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and will direct your path.
And that's probably the most famous, if you will, of the verses that we're taught as little ones to memorize. That verse, okay? Other ones. Yes?
It's hard to change his course if the Lord determines his steps.
Wow, that's not on my list. And believe me, here's my list. And that's not on my list, okay? That's good. All right? Somebody else.
Do you see a man who excels in his work, he will stand before kings, he will not stand before unknown men?
Man. It's another one that's not on my list. Okay? Maybe I ought to give you my list. You know? Here's some. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. We already did 3, 5, and 6. Now, these aren't all the verses, because I've highlighted them in, and it'll take too much time. But here. 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. 9:10, fear the Lord, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. 11:30, for the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That was really, that should put a star next to that one. Okay? Here's one. A lot of folks often quote this one. 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son. 14:16, a wise man tears or fears the Lord and shuns evil. Here's one you'll all remember. 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Pride goes before destruction, 16:18, 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto the Lord, or right, but the way thereof is destruction. We're going to cover that one today. 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. And then it talks about that one. That's also, that. I'll tell you, that one was one of my favorites. And the next one is, I've been singing this one all morning. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And that's 18:10. 18:22. We got in trouble one Sunday when we were going through the book of Proverbs because the guy couldn't find this one. 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good. He got in trouble because he couldn't remember that with his wife there. Okay? 18:24. This was one of my really favorite ones of all the Proverbs. A man hath many friends, must show himself friendly. And that is, that's a concoction of both the King James as well as the NIV. But a man hath many friends, must show himself friendly. 20 and 29, the glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of old, or of the old. 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he won't depart. In 25:21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow. And then there's a continuation. 27:17, it's iron sharpens iron. You've heard these verses before. And of course, another word, a famous one that we often refer to is in chapter 31, where we talk about the virtuous woman. And that's a tremendous section just by itself. But now we'll go to chapter 16. Now, and after I read chapter 16, there's some all-star verses in chapter 16, I will tell you. All-star verses. And some verses for us to take away. You know, again, as I said, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's intended to provide us thoughts and considerations for wisdom. And it's an idea for life. And in some cases, in some of the verses that we'll talk about towards the latter part of the chapter, they're intended to be general. General in terms of general principles to go by. Okay? Because you'll point out, we'll say, if we read one of these verses, you say, well, that's, I know a situation where that's not true. But in a general principle, it is true. So that we'll go through and we'll identify those things. But then there are some things that are absolute. Absolute. And as we go through, I think the intent is to encourage you through some of the words that that Solomon wrote and has provided to us in terms of encouraging us in our walk and as we deal with everything every day. So with that, let's... now, I will ask, I think, what time do I go to? Who's going to answer that question honestly? 12:30. Honestly, that's honestly. You know, we told a guy at our chapel, you know, he didn't ask. And it was an hour and a half later. And I said, oh, I'm not going to do that with him anymore. You know? But we were on the edge of our seats, too. So that was, it was great. And then we had dinner with him. And we actually didn't go anywhere. We had dinner right there. So that was great. So anyway, chapter 16. To man belongs the plans of the heart. But from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighted by God or by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The lips of a king speak as an oracle. His mouth should not betray justice. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. The king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease him. And when a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in the spring. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to be a share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good. He who winks with his eye is plotting perversity. He who purses his lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Better a patient than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes his city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the words, his words. Chapter 1, or chapter 16. The first 11 verses, the word Lord, or Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, is mentioned 9 times. It kind of stresses the importance of the Lord and His purposes in those 9 verses. Its focus and direction, its wisdom and understanding is the Lord's wisdom. See, it's not man's. It's contrasting. The whole chapter is dealing with contrast. You know, sometimes we go into the book of Proverbs and say, is there anything connected in Proverbs? It's just like it's a bunch of one-liners, you know? And that's not true. We'll see in some of these things, there are themes that have run through. You see, in one of these verses, you're going to see that it's repeated 3 or 4 times in the book of Proverbs. And when it's repeated by Solomon 3 or 4 times, and it's repeated by the Lord using Solomon, it kind of should mean something to us that we need to pay attention to it, because it's important. But we see that the theme is, right here, wisdom. And it's contrasting wisdom. It's contrasting integrity. And contrasting and lack of integrity. Righteousness and unrighteousness. That is the theme that chapter 16 and chapter 17 take on. So verse 1. In a very short kind of summary of some of these verses. We may not have time to go all through, but we're going to try to do the best we can. To a man belongs the plans of the heart. You see, man prepares and plans and does all the work. We conjure up every single, if we can do this or we can do that, or I'm going to plan, this is my life, I'm planning it out. And what does he say? See, to man belong the plans of the heart. So in our heart, everything's being planned out. It's being mapped out, that it would say in the new vernacular today. It says, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. So that really what comes out is really from the Lord. Now, how do we know that? Well, in Numbers chapter 22, and you can write it down and look at it later. But in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 38, and the actual saying that Balaam, the prophet, actually gave, is that if you recall that, that's where that they wanted him to say certain things, and he thought he should say certain things. But when it actually came out, he actually says, I can only speak what the Lord told me to say. And that's really what he said. See, so the heart, we're planning all kinds of things, but actually sometimes what comes out is really not what God's plan is anyway. And so, and that's what he's trying to say. So whatever you've got planned in your heart, you know, we've got all these great plans that we've laid out for ourselves, but God has a plan for each one of us. And that's something that we have to remember, because God is sovereign and God is in charge. And then when we go to verse 2, all man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Now what do we mean by that? What is God trying to tell us? You see, our motives, You know, sometimes we can't even see. You know what they say? You can't see the forest because of the trees. Sometimes we think that our motive for doing something is honest and true, and we can't see anything wrong with that. See? But God is saying, I'm going to look at your heart. I'm going to look at the heart. The heart is going to tell me, I know your heart. I know what your real true motives are. And that's what the Solomon is trying to tell us. A man's ways seems innocent to him. I'm just doing this. I'm doing this right. I think I'm doing this the way the Lord wants me to do it. But really, God's saying, I know your heart. I know your real true heart. And it may not be in sync with me. So I know what's really in the heart. And that should speak to us. One of the things that we get to, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know, sometimes, in the New Testament, it says you ask and you don't have because you don't ask. And, at camp. And I thought about this. You know, how many times do you get frustrated when something, like you've been planning, it just doesn't go your way? Or, you know what? Maybe we're planning a big celebration. You know, the chapel's planning its 100th anniversary. Not sure, I'm exaggerating now, okay? But 100th anniversary of Cherrydale, okay? And 5 people show up. Now, you've been in existence for 100 years. What happened to all of those people that you've been planning to come to this big celebration? And then all of a sudden, you start saying, why didn't such and such come? And why didn't such and such come? You know? And saying, if I really committed to the Lord, it's His. It's His celebration. You see, I'm not taking it on myself. It's not mine anymore. The work is not mine. The work is the Lord's. And that's why I say it at camp. You see, if we want 120 kids, Lord, it's your job. It's your responsibility to get those 120 kids. Our job is just to go out and do the work. And if we don't get 120 kids, that's not on me. You see? So the idea here is that commit it to the Lord, whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know, down in verse 9, if in his heart a man plans his course. Now we're jumping, okay? Jumping ahead. Because I connect these two verses. If a man plans in his heart, or a man plans his course, the Lord determines his steps. Now, this is an easy one. You say, well, how many people have planned their education? They've gone to college, and a lot of you have gone to college. And then, so this is where, I wanted to go. And now you're not doing anything for what you've been trained to do in your college education. How many? Is there anybody that's done that? One? A couple have been willing to put their hand up. A couple. You know? I was trained as an engineer. I am doing nothing in engineering. I was trained to build bridges. I was trained to design highways. And you surely need some of that help down in Southern Virginia. I mean, it's Northern Virginia here, riding that beltway. I mean, I'm crazy out there. Okay? But I was trained to do that. And I spent 3 years doing it. And then I went into management. And then I got out of management doing special events and retired. Did Homeland Security. None of that was related to what I was trained in. But you know, God had a path planned out for me. And I just had to follow that path. And that's what that verse is trying to tell us. You see? In his heart, a man plans that course. This is what my parents want me to do. This is what I want to do. But what does God want me to do? You see? Isn't that one of the toughest... You work with young people, correct? And I don't know your name. I forget. I met you last Sunday. Behind Bill. Yes. In the brown shirt with glasses. Okay? You work with young people, correct? One of the toughest parts to deal with young people. They're always, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? I don't know what to do. George, you find that?
Yeah.
Your kids are a little younger. The kids you're dealing with, right? A little younger?
Yeah, well, they're age 7 to 12, so it's a big range. That's why it's hard.
Okay. All right. Claire, have you ever asked that question? Never asked that question. Okay, you got to come with me now. Come on, you got to go? No? All right. But no, the idea is that, you know, we've got plans mapped out in our lives that we think, but God really has the plan mapped out, and because God's sovereign. And He's got that direction all mapped out for us. And that's, again, comforting when we think about that. Comforting. All right, verse 4. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. You know, nothing happens. God has His end. He has the objective and the purpose for everything. And sometimes we forget that. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, I think it might have been George or Claire or somebody, we were talking about going up to camp and riding the toboggan, and I ended up getting in a toboggan accident, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And I thought I was invincible. This was when I was about 25, 26. Thought I was invincible. I was like the great athlete. I could do everything. Ice skate. You know, I mean, really. You couldn't keep me down. Never got hurt, okay? But in the hospital, I was carried off in the stretcher. And I was in the hospital with back compression. Matter of fact, the doctor did say that if I hadn't been such a good athlete, I'd have broke my back. So that was a good thing, okay? But back compression for 2 weeks. I mean, I really couldn't touch my toes without having to kind of, like, go out with pain. That's how much pain it was. So it was good. But everything has a purpose. You see, God needed to, like, smack me by the side of my head and get me in the hospital. So, because I prayed. I said, Lord, what do you want? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I might not have been paying attention to you, but you got my attention now. So what do you want to tell me? What do I have to learn from this? You see, it wasn't woe is me. It was, what are you trying to teach me? That you had to get my attention. And that's the idea here. The Lord works out everything for His own end. And that's Yahweh, Jehovah. Do you think, and that's pretty exciting to think, that God has that much interest in your life, that He's got it all mapped out for you, and that we get all crazy when things don't go our way, and we forget that God is in control, and we lose the joy that we could have with Christ because we've tried to take it on ourselves. And He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to say, hey, it's mine. I got it covered. You just don't understand. And again, I speak to you, but I'm speaking to myself because I go through this. And there's a lot more that I go through that the Lord has taught me in these verses as we go along. But even then, it says, look, even the wicked, God's got a purpose. God's got an objective. Even the wicked is the day for a day of disaster. So that they're not going to survive, if you will. In verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. All the proud of heart. You know, it's saying, really, probably the word detest, we could probably substitute the word hate. God hates the proud. God hates the proud. Pride, human pride, is so detestable to God. And that's really what this verse is saying. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Again, we're talking about a holy and righteous God that is telling us the facts of life, if you will. He's telling us the way it is. And sometimes we need to kind of get knocked up the side of our head to get it straight and understand what He's trying to tell us. And these are wise wisdom that's been imparted to us through Solomon, who is considered one of the wisest men ever in the world. And we have these words written through the Holy Spirit to Solomon to share with us. And our responsibility is to not take that for granted. And we go on. Verse 6. Remember, verses 1 through 11, we see Yahweh 9 times. Okay? Verse 6. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. And that is a reminder to us. And that's kind of the connection between the old and the new. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die, offered his life, an atoning sacrifice for sins. And when we understand his great love, that we understand that in a personal way, we can have complete forgiveness of sins and we can have peace with God. It says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned. If we understand who atoned for our sins, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, atoned for our sins, then we can have, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. It kind of puts us in a different perspective. It moves us in the direction of pleasing Him rather than pleasing ourselves, and pleasing Him rather than going against what God has poured out for us. So it's again, in verse 6, studying all of the Scriptures, the opportunity to study all of the Scriptures. Verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace. Now this is with him. This is one of those verses when I said it was like a general principle. Because we know a whole bunch of people who they've been peaceful, they've loved their enemies, they've gone and served their enemies, and what has happened? They've either had their heads chopped off, they've been killed. You see, so we could probably make a whole bunch of scenarios where we say, well, that verse is not correct. No, this is a general principle. General principle. And you know, it says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace. You know, there was a story where they had this guy, as a general rule, there was an individual who hated President Lincoln. When Lincoln was preparing to run for office, this guy hated Lincoln. He thought, you know, he was the worst of anyone, okay? And when Lincoln was elected president, President Lincoln had this guy came in and was part of his cabinet. Matter of fact, and I can't remember exactly if he was the Minister of Defense, but he was in that cabinet level position. And as a result, after Lincoln was assassinated, now again, this guy did not, he was an enemy of Lincoln, an enemy. And Lincoln brought him into the cabinet. And he said to him, after he passed, and at the funeral, or in that general period of time, he said, this man was a great man. Matter of fact, he was one of the greatest men of all time. That's what he said about his enemy, because of the way Lincoln treated him, you see. So again, that's an example of pleasing. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies, because Lincoln never wavered from his position in the Lord, and so even his enemies to live at peace with him. That's the Scripture. Okay? Better a little with righteous than much gain with injustice. Okay? Better a little righteous than with much gain. And again, modest income is earned. Okay? Rather than going out and stealing or figuring out a way to, you know, some way to conjure up and get more money. And that's really what it's trying to say here, because it goes right into, in the heart of man, it plans a course, but the Lord determines the steps. The idea is that, again, connecting the two verses, is that, you know, we could go out and figure out all kinds of ways to figure out how we could get rich. You know, there's plenty of get-rich-quick schemes out there. But see, what he's saying is it better just to have a little bit, but do it with righteousness, than to try to get one of those quick schemes and gain a lot of benefit out of that right away. And that's the contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness. Verse 10, we skip on verse 9 because we just covered it, or we covered it. Okay? The next five verses, 10 through 15, deal with the king. And we'll start out with that section there. And just to understand a little bit, in this section of 10 to 15, it really deals with the king. And the king is intended to be a representative of God himself, God's emissary. Okay, that's what these verses are supposed to deal with. So when it says that the lips of a king speak as an oracle, meaning, and we have that same kind of passage, you know, when we speak or we speak today, I'm not speaking of myself, I'm speaking the oracles of God. And that's in one of the New Testament verses that we have. You speak as speaking in the oracles of God. So when the king had the authority, if you will, of God himself. And just like in verse 11, honest scales, you know, weighing in the balance, honest scales. And what's in the bag is there, put there by the Lord, so that you're able to judge, so that you're able to judge righteously. God was saying the king is supposed to be judging righteously, and he's basing it on honesty and integrity. That's what they enjoy. That's what they would prefer. Okay? And maybe that's not, again, general principle. Maybe that's not what we see today in some of these kings or kingdoms or presidents and non-presidents. But the idea is that's what the desire of God is. That's the accountability that these leaders have in that scale and balance. All the weights in the bag are of his making, God. And the kings detest wrongdoing. From the throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. I mean, I can't get any plainer than that. You know, we should be truthful. We should be transparent. People should be able to see us every day who we are, and that we don't have to hide. We don't have to pretend to be somebody else that we aren't. We need to be transparent. And that is what the king, that pleases the king. And of course, the understanding is that if we're transparent and we are who we are, we're also pleasing the Father. And those around us are going to see that. Well, I see our time is moving on. Let's go to verse 20, okay? Go to verse 20. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Verse 20. It's kind of telling us, read your, what is that song we used to sing as children? Read your Bible, pray every day. And we sang that? Sang that song when we were little kids? Read your Bible, pray every day. Well, it's the same thought. Read your Bible. Study it. Know what it says. In Timothy, it says, search the Scriptures. And then it's going to be, it's good for reproof, for instruction, and those other areas there. But that's the idea, verse 20. Read your Bible. And then the idea, because we've already talked about it, trust the one who wrote it. You see, God himself, these are God's words. It's his word. So trust the one who actually wrote it. So that's the idea. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he, or blessed is he, trusts in the Lord. We'll skip over to 25. The ways, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Or in some versions it says leads to destruction. You know, a lot of times we think we know what we're doing. We've done it our own way. And it says that way could lead you to destruction. And it says in the end it's going to lead you to death. It leads you to an eternal separation from God. And then we go to, this one caught my, verse 30. Now, how many times have you ever seen somebody, you know, wink at you? You know? We'll end with this verse, okay? Wink. Alright? It says, he who winks with his eye is plotting perversity. You've never read that. You probably never thought of that before, have you? Right? Yes or no? Yes? No. Okay. Not a thought of that, right? He who winks with his eye is plotting perversity. You know? So if somebody, you know, they, you know, like, all right, we're going to tell you a story. It's true. Right? Thought about that? Right? But that's what it's saying. Now, that's not the first time it's used in the book of Proverbs. And that's why I said earlier, this verse is, this same concept is three times, the wink, is used in the book of Proverbs. Okay? All right? So the idea there, let me go back here. It's in chapter 6 and verse 13 and chapter 10 and verse 10. That same. It's body language. That's the idea. It's how we present ourselves in body language. Because the next verse, or the next part of that verse, he who purses his lips is bent on evil. Now, I'm trying to figure out, what is pursing your lips? Okay? I'm not sure. Can anybody tell me what pursing their lips are?
Compressing.
Compressing? Almost biting? You know? You know how when, you know, your kids look at you and they get really upset? You know? I mean, my daughter was the master of that. You know? That's the way your lips kind of... Susie, you don't do that, right? No, I didn't think so. Okay? All right? But it's trying to tell you, it's body language. It's your body language that comes and speaks to what's in your heart. It's going to come out. Okay? And then it says, a gray hair is a crown of splendor. It's attained by righteous life. Doesn't mean that everybody who has gray hair is a righteous person. It just says that over years and years of following the Lord, and as they get older, they have attained the righteousness. Well, I think the last verse there, 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Every decision is from Yahweh. In the Old Testament, and a couple verses in the New Testament, lots were used. Lots were used to determine what God's will was. Today we don't need lots, because today we have the complete Word of God. There's nothing needs to be added, nothing needs to be subtracted. We have God's will for us identified in His Word. And that is where we would end today as we finish our time this morning. Lots are no longer used like drawing straws, okay? Or throwing them out like a set of dice to see what we were going to do today. Well, we have God's Word. And God's Word is alive and well. I think just from some of the verses we've read today, I think you would agree that this Word is not dead. It's alive today. It's just as alive today as it was when it was written by Solomon. And just as important for us as people to live in accordance with His Word today as it was to Solomon. We thank You for Your attention. Let's just close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You that we can enjoy Your Word. So much truth. So much power in it. Father, sometimes we fail to even rely on You for our everyday activities and to live according to Your Word, live according to Your promises. We don't. Sometimes we take Your promises for granted. We don't understand that You want the absolute best for us. We pray that as we've just kind of scratched some of these words, scratched some of these scriptures, that we would be encouraged to know that You're God and that You're so sovereign, that You're in charge of all things, that nothing happens without Your approval. We pray, Father, now that You would give us each an encouragement and bless us as we go back to our respective homes and enjoy the time of Father's Day, those that are able to enjoy them with their fathers, and that they would be able to, again, bring glory and honor to You. We pray and thank You for the Word. We pray that we would live a life this week that would be glorifying and honor to You as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.